As we continue our series this morning, we have been talking about the miracles of Jesus, and I just want us to stop, and as we get ready to read the scripture this morning, hopefully if you've already looked at the scripture, and we know that we will be looking at sickness and death and how leaving the old things behind. Folks, when you look at this scripture this morning, I hope you see a picture of salvation, because that's what I see. I see an opportunity, a scripture of salvation that Jesus is offering to these people. They didn't really realize, I don't think, exactly what Jesus was saying or how things was playing out, his disciples that were with him. But we know that it starts out that John's disciples come to Jesus. And as you hear the reading of this scripture, I want you just to think about this picture just a little bit. You got John the Baptist. He had come to prepare the way for Jesus. He had some followers, disciples of his. They were probably more scholarly-like, probably more schooled. And so you got these people that are saying, we fasted. We used to fast 1 or 2 days a week. We were doing things that Jesus is just not doing. And Jesus had called his disciples, and we know that he had chosen a bunch of fishermen and tax collectors and just a bunch of people that just misfits. They just didn't fit to be following Jesus. But that's us, folks. That's who we are. We're just a bunch of misfits that love the Lord, that want to follow Christ. And do we get it right every day? No, we don't. And we never will. But we do try our very best to be better tomorrow than we are today. And so as we look at the scripture, we're going to see that John's disciples are coming to Jesus with a question. If you look at verse 14, Matthew 9:14, it says, one day the disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus and asked him, why don't your disciples fast like we do and the Pharisees do? And Jesus replied, do wedding guests mourn while celebrating with the groom? Of course not, but someday the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Besides, who will patch old clothing with new cloth? For the new patch will shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old skins will burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins, so both are preserved. As Jesus was saying this, the leader of a synagogue came and knelt before him. My daughter has just died, he said. But you can bring her back to life again if you just come and lay your hand on her. So Jesus and his disciples got up and went with him. Just when a woman who had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding came up behind him, she touched the fringe of his robe. For she thought, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus arrived at the official's home, he saw the noisy crowd and heard the funeral music. Get out, he told them. The girl isn't dead. She's only asleep. But the crowd laughed at him. And after the crowd was put outside, however, Jesus went in and took the girl by hand. And she stood up. And the report of this miracle swept through the entire countryside. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, as we see this scripture and kind of how it lays in here, it's kind of like, you know, it really don't fit. It really don't go together and all. But it really does. Because we see that the disciples of John are coming to Jesus and they're saying, your disciples don't fast. they're not like us. We fasted. We were set aside 1 to 2 days a week to fast. And your disciples aren't fasting at all. And Jesus is saying, if you go to a wedding, you're not going to be fasting. You're going to be eating and being merry and having fun. And he said, as long as the bridegroom is with them, they won't be fasting or not fasting much. But he said, one day, the groom will be gone. He was trying to tell them that he is the bridegroom. He's trying to tell them that one day I will be gone. And at that point, they will have all the time to fast and all the time to mourn. But right now, I'm with you. They don't need to be fasting. I am with you. Be happy. Be merry. Folks, today I think we need to see that God is with us today, just like Jesus was with them every day. He's with us. And we need to be happy. We need to be happy because He lives within us. The Holy Spirit stays within us. It lives within us. And the Holy Spirit goes out into the world with us, and it allows us to be that minister, to be the one taking that word into the world, taking that word to the other people. And this is what Jesus was trying to tell the disciples of John. He says, look, if you put wine, new wine, in an old wineskin, it's going to get pressurized, it's going to blow up and spill you wine, and then go do nothing. There's no need in putting the new wine in the old skin. It's going to tear open. It can't hold the pressure. And so it makes me think about the way that we are. We love Jesus. A lot of us have dedicated our lives to living for Him and showing others that we are a true disciple of Christ. We have said, Lord, all the days of my life, I've tried to do everything that you've asked me to do. I've tried to be the disciple that you asked me to be. But I ask you, what kind of relationship do you have with your Lord and Savior? Just being is not enough. It's not enough to be good. It's not enough to be just in tune with the Lord. You need to have a relationship with the Lord. And so, we see that Jesus is saying, when you put this wine into an old skin, and this wine starts to ferment, and it starts to build pressure, it's going to tear that skin. Folks, when you accept Jesus Christ truly in your heart, and you begin to build this relationship with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it will build pressure in you that you can't hold, and you will have to go back into the world and tell others about the love of Christ that He has for you and for others around you. You can't stand it. It will pour out of you. And this is what I get from this scripture. You're not going to be able to contain the love that you will have for Christ and that Christ will have for you. Now, we know that It's by our faith that things happen. Brian was talking about last Sunday about it all starts with our sin, doesn't it? It all starts with our sin because we are all sinners. And, you know, me and another preacher were talking last week, and we were talking about how people want to be connected to God. They don't want to go to church on Sunday. They want to go camping. They don't want to be held responsible to be here on Sunday. You know, maybe not 100% necessary, but kind of. But they don't want to have a day-to-day relationship with the Lord. What they want is to be able to do what they want to do throughout the week, live the life that they want to live throughout the week, and then call upon the Lord if there's an emergency or some kind of situation arises. Then they want to be able to talk to the Lord. They need Him. They need the preacher. They need everybody that they can gather up to pray for them. They need everything to come, everybody to come, and to be with them at that given time. But you see, folks, the relationship that they have with their Lord and Savior is what is the most important. It said, as Jesus was saying, as he was talking about all of this to the disciples, the leader of a synagogue came, and he bowed down before Jesus. And he said, my little girl has just died. He said, I need you to come and touch her so that she will live. What faith. What faith, folks. You know, we look at things so much different, I guess, today than we would then. Had Jesus been alive today, we would maybe look at things different. We would have had the faith of this synagogue leader. But over in John chapter 4, we see that the man came and he said, Lord, I need you to come with me and heal my son. He's fixing to die. I need you to come like right now and heal him. He's fixing to die. Well, Jesus didn't go. He told him, he said, you go home. Your son was healed. He didn't go with him because the guy wanted to see the miracles happen. He wanted Jesus to come and be there and let him see what was happening in John. And Jesus said, unless I do the miracles and the many wonders, you won't believe. You don't have faith. But the guy believed, and he left and went home, and his son was healed. Here we see Jairus, the man's name that it's called in Mark and Luke. But here we see the man of the synagogue, it says in Matthew, coming to Jesus after his little girl had died. And after he died, he said, I want you to come and touch her and raise her so that she may live. Jesus took the disciples and immediately went with him, went to his home. But on his way to his home, here's a lady that has had this disease of bleeding for 12 years. She's very uncomfortable about it. She can't go to the synagogue. She can't be out in public. She can't do anything. She has no friends. She has nobody. And she feels like, folks, that she cannot talk to Jesus about it. You ever feel like this? You have troubles in your life, you have problems, and you feel like, I really can't even talk to Jesus about this. I don't know what I need to do. I'm at my rose end. You ever heard that from someone or maybe yourself? Sure we have. We've all thought it or we've all said it or we've heard someone say it. I'm at my rose end. I have no one to turn to. I have no one that will listen to what I have to say. But here we see that she comes and she's thinking to herself, I don't want to embarrass myself. I don't want to embarrass Jesus. I don't want to really have to tell Jesus what my problem is. I really don't want him knowing the things that's bothering me. So if I could just slip up and just touch his hem of his garment, I could be healed. And I would be new. You know, folks, Jesus, he knows everything about every one of us. God knows everything about every one of us. He knows our hearts. He knows when we're playing. He knows when we're serious. He knows when we have a relationship with him and when we have one that we just want to call on at our convenience. He knows all of this. We can't hide it from him. We cannot hide from God what it is that we think we're hiding. It's all out in the open for him, and he sees everything. When the lady came up behind him and touched his garment, he felt that power leave him. And he turned, and he knew that it was one of the somebody in the crowd had touched him. And he turned, and he said, Daughter, he had addressed her as his daughter. Can you imagine how that must have made her feel? She had not been welcomed anywhere anywhere for 12 years. She had not been welcomed by anybody. She had not been loved on. She had not been hugged. She had not been touched for 12 years because she was considered unclean. And he turns to her and he said, "Daughter, just like you would your daughter." He says, "Be encouraged. Your faith has made you well." Be encouraged. Does it encourage us, folks, as children of God, to be called daughter or son? Does it encourage us to know that we have a father that loves us as much as our earthly fathers did or do? Does it encourage you to know that you have someone that's there for you any hour, day, or night? It encourages me. It brings me through a lot of things that I could not have gotten through or get through without knowing that my Father is right there with me. Is He is always as proud of me as He would be some other time? Probably not, because I'm human and I make mistakes and I fall short. But you know what? He knows I did. He knows the things I do. All I got to do is say, "Lord, forgive me. I should not have done this. I should not have done the things that I've done today. I missed this opportunity, Lord, because you sent it to me and I didn't respond." He knows the things that He's done for us this day that we don't make good on. He knows everything about us, folks. So He tells the lady, "Her faith has made you well. Her faith has made you well." She had faith that she didn't need Jesus to turn around and touch her. She didn't need Jesus to lay His hands upon her in any kind of way. She just needed to touch the hem of His garment and she could be healed. What faith. What faith. If we could just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, could we be healed? Folks, we don't even have to touch the hem to be healed. God is there for us. He's there for us as we give away the old wineskin, as we take the old wineskin and throw it in the dump, and we make us a new wineskin, and we put His love in the new wineskin. This body that we have, this new heart that we have, it's not going to blow up. It's going to be able to hold it. It's going to be able to contain it. But it can't contain it always. You'll have to tell others about Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? Her wineskin was full, and it was full of new wine. She was able to go back into the community. She was able to go back to church. She's able to do the things that she wants and desires to do. Can you imagine how full she must have been? Amen. I can't imagine how she must have felt. I love everybody, and I'm always talking to everybody. And I want to talk to every one of you on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, tonight. If you'll come, tell me where you go be. I just want to talk to you. I can't imagine, and I'll probably hug your neck when I get there. I can't imagine not being able to do that, not to be put somewhere and to be held by yourself. So we know that she had to have been just boiling over with the love of Christ. He had called her daughter. He had healed her. But folks, He forgave her sin. He forgave her sin and He healed her body. And after He has healed her body, He says, "It's your faith, your belief in me that has made you well." So when Jesus arrived at the official's home, they were already having a funeral. They were into the crying and the wailing and the playing of the music, and they were having a funeral for this girl that had died. The man had went off to find Jesus, and they just proceeded with the funeral of the mourning. And used to, when we was kids, way back then, they didn't embalm like they do now. And so they would have a wake, maybe a 2 or 3 day wake. And so when Jesus got there, He said, folks, what's all this racket? What's going on? Well, she's dead. She's been dead for a day. She's dead, and we're having a funeral. He said, she's only sleeping. And they laughed, and they said, yeah, right. She's only sleeping. She's dead, brother, and there's nothing you're going to do about it. But he told them all to get out, to leave. Why did he do that? Why would he not have allowed them to been there and saw the things that he was fixing to do? Because he'd already been to Capernaum, and the people didn't believe earlier. They didn't believe in him. They didn't believe in anything that he had done. They didn't believe that he could heal, much less raise anybody from the dead. And he was just going to do it privately. Because it didn't matter what they saw. They're not going to believe. Their hearts were hard. They had set their mind that they would not believe anything that was fixing to take place. Jesus told them to leave the room. They left the room. And when they left the room, he took the crowd had laughed at him. But they were outside. And Jesus went back and he took the girl by the hand. And she stood up. Can you imagine how they must have felt when she came out of the room after having laughed at Jesus? This girl comes out with Jesus. Can you imagine how they felt like they was about this tall? They felt like crawling under something. You ever get like that where you feel like it's embarrassed me so bad I'd just love to crawl up under that desk or up under a table or something and get to where nobody could see me. That's bound to be how they felt. But yet they knew that it was Christ that had healed this girl. Folks, her dad had come. He come after she died, not before she was dying. He come after she had died. There was no doctor. There was no reason to go find the doctor. There was no reason to go find anyone except Jesus. And he says to Jesus, if you come, if you take her by the hand and touch her, she will live. Folks, today that's the way that he treats us. If he takes you by the hand, you will live. If you are sincere and desire to have this relationship with him, you will live. You will not only live here on this earth, you will live forever. You will have eternal life. And the people that saw it, they took off and told everybody, and it swept throughout the whole countryside as to what had happened. Now, if Jesus come in here this morning, and he raised somebody from the dead, we would go out of here and we would not be quiet for, it would be a month before we was quiet about it. It'd probably be a year. Probably not ever shut up. And we would be telling everybody what we saw Jesus do. But because he hasn't come in here and raised anyone from the dead, do we tell these stories? Do we share these miracles with other people? Do we love him like these people did? Do we laugh at him? Do we think that it's impossible for him to do anything today? I think if you open your eyes, you will see daily. I do. I don't know about y'all. I might just have a set of eyes that's just different. I don't know. But I see daily God at work in people's lives. Daily. I see them. I see God work in my life, in other people's lives, and I truly believe that a lot of these people that I'm seeing God work in their life, they're not even seeing it. They're not even aware of it. But folks, I truly, truly believe each one of us is an instrument, a different kind of instrument. We're not all alike, but we're an instrument in the tool chest that Jesus totes around. And at any given day, he uses you, me, any one of us. He uses us. That will be the instrument that he reaches in to get. But if that instrument's rusty, if that instrument won't work, if that instrument's not capable of doing the job when he reaches in to get it, if he has no, if there is no way to make it work, like some of us, there's no way to make it happen because we're not going to do it for him, then he has a hard time. Because the instrument he needed very easily could be you. It could be me. But we're not capable of doing it because we haven't built our relationship. We haven't taken care of our own self. We haven't built the relationship to where we know and believe that the Holy Spirit will be the one to move in and take over if we feel that we can't. He's there for us. He's there with us, folks. And he will be the one to speak for you, he tells us. He'll be the one to guide us. He'll be the one to hold your hand. He'll be the one to be right there to do the work. All you got to do is just be prepared physically to do it. And you'll be shocked as to what you might see. Folks, this morning, I hope you keep your eyes open. I hope you look around you each and every day. And I don't think you'll have to look far to see God at work in some part of your world that you're living in. He's working. It may be you that you need to go to the mirror and look at. He may be working in you and you haven't seen it. I know that was me for a long time. He was working in me. I didn't want to look in the mirror and see that. I wanted to look and see what he was doing in somebody else's life. And then I figured out, it's not everybody else that I need to be worried about. I first need to be worried about myself. I need to be worried about the wineskin that I have. Am I trying to put new wine in an old wineskin? Or am I ready to discard that wineskin and take a new one and follow Jesus? You see, folks, it's just that simple. You can't expect Jesus to move in an old wineskin and it not explode. It's not going to happen. Because he's going to fill you every day more and more and more. Every day that you try and you sincerely desire for this relationship, he's going to fill that skin more and more. And at some point, it will spill out. I hope today, as Brian said earlier this morning, I hope today that we are all of us, are looking for God. We're searching for Jesus Christ. I hope each and every one of us. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian all your life. It doesn't matter if you, like myself, about halfway through decided I'm going to follow Christ. It doesn't matter, folks, because God has a plan for you. He has work for you to do. I hope we know and understand this. Every one of us that's here on this earth, we're just not put here to wander around and to look pretty or to look ugly or whatever you call yourself. You're not here for that. You're here as a disciple of Christ. Think about it as you go back into your world. This is Jesus' world. This is the world that he has given to us. Look out for the things going on around you. Be aware of the people in your life. Look at their needs, but mainly look at their need for Jesus. Teach them, show them. Folks, they cannot become a Christian one day and know everything there is to know. It's up to you to show them, to teach them. They're babes in Christ. And no matter where you're at, you have accepted him. No matter where you're at, you're ahead of them. So help them. Help them with their walk. You don't just turn a baby loose. You hold on to his hand. Help them to come and to know more about Jesus. And as you do, It will increase their love for him and for you and for others around them. And we'll eventually, I don't know when, but we'll eventually see a change in this world if we all have Christ's attitude. If we all show someone else Christ, we will eventually make a difference. Think about it as you go back into the world, folks. It's just like this scripture is just like a plan of salvation. You take away the old, you throw it away. You put on the new. And it's your faith in Jesus Christ that will take you to the end. It's by His grace that you are saved. Nothing else. His grace and His grace alone. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.